Science and Health, Chapter 13, Teaching Christian Science. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs. When the discoverer of Christian Science is consulted by her followers as to the propriety, advantage, and consistency of systematic medical study, she tries to show them that under ordinary circumstances, a resort to faith in corporeal means tends to deter those who make such a compromise from entire confidence in omnipotent mind as really possessing all power. While a course of medical study is at times severely condemned by some scientists, she feels, as she always has felt, that all are privileged to work out their own salvation according to their light, and that our motto should be the Master's counsel, "Judge not that ye be not judged." If patients fail to experience the healing power of Christian Science and think they can be benefited by certain ordinary physical methods of medical treatment, then the mind physician should give up such cases and leave invalids free to resort to whatever other systems they fancy will afford relief. Thus, such invalids may learn the value of the apostolic precept: reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If the sick find these material expedients unsatisfactory, and they receive no help from them, these very failures may open their blind eyes. In some way, sooner or later, all must rise superior to materiality, and suffering is oft the divine agent in this elevation. All things work together for good to them that love God, is the dictum of Scripture. If Christian scientists ever fail to receive aid from other scientists, their brethren upon whom they may call, God will still guide them into the right use of temporary and eternal means. Step by step will those who trust Him find that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Students are advised by the author to be charitable and kind, not only towards differing forms of religion and medicine, but to those who hold these differing opinions. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it, but let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment and never to condemn rashly. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is, fear not that he will smite thee again for thy forbearance. If ecclesiastical sects or medical schools turn a deaf ear to the teachings of Christian Science, then part from these opponents as did Abraham when he parted from Lot, and say in thy heart, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Immortals or God's children in divine science are one harmonious family, but mortals or the children of men in material sense are discordant and oft-times false brethren. The teacher must make clear to students the science of healing, especially its ethics, that all is mind, and that the scientist must conform to God's requirements. Also, the teacher must thoroughly fit his students to defend themselves against sin and to guard against the attacks of the would-be mental assassin who attempts to kill morally and physically. No hypothesis as to the existence of another power should interpose a doubt or fear to hinder the demonstration of Christian Science. Unfold the latent energies and capacities for good in your pupil. Teach the great possibilities of man endued with divine science. Teach the dangerous possibility of dwarfing the spiritual understanding and demonstration of truth by sin, or by recourse to material means for healing. Teach the meekness and might of life hid with Christ in God, and there will be no desire for other healing methods. You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale with the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. Christian Science silences human will, quiets fear with truth and love, and illustrates the unlabored motion of the divine energy in healing the sick. Self-seeking, envy, passion, pride, hatred, and revenge are cast out by the divine mind which heals disease. The human will which maketh and worketh a lie, hiding the divine principle of harmony, is destructive to health and is the cause of disease rather than its cure. There is great danger in teaching mind healing indiscriminately, thus disregarding the morals of the student and caring only for the fees. Recalling Jefferson's words about slavery, "I tremble when I remember that God is just." The author trembles whenever she sees a man, for the petty consideration of money, teaching his slight knowledge of mind power, perhaps communicating his own bad morals, and in this way dealing pitilessly with a community unprepared for self-defense. A thorough perusal of the author's publications heals sickness. If patients sometimes seem worse while reading this book, the change may either arise from the alarm of the physician, or it may mark the crisis of the disease. Perseverance in the perusal of the book has generally completely healed such cases. Whoever practices the science the author teaches, through which mind pours light and healing upon this generation, can practice on no one from sinister or malicious motives without destroying his own power to heal and his own health. Good must dominate in the thoughts of the healer, or his demonstration is protracted, dangerous, and impossible in science. A wrong motive involves defeat. In the science of mind healing, it is imperative to be honest, for victory rests on the side of immutable right. To understand God strengthens hope, enthrones faith in truth, and verifies Jesus' word, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Resisting evil, you overcome it and prove its nothingness. Not human platitudes, but divine beatitudes reflect the spiritual light and might which heal the sick. The exercise of will brings on a hypnotic state, detrimental to health and integrity of thought. This must therefore be watched and guarded against. Covering iniquity will prevent prosperity and the ultimate triumph of any cause. Ignorance of the error to be eradicated oftentimes subjects you to its abuse. The heavenly law is broken by trespassing upon man's individual right of self-government. We have no authority in Christian Science and no moral right to attempt to influence the thoughts of others, except it be to benefit them. In mental practice, you must not forget that erring human opinions, conflicting selfish motives, and ignorant attempts to do good may render you incapable of knowing or judging accurately the need of your fellow men. Therefore, the rule is, heal the sick when called upon for aid, and save the victims of the mental assassins. Ignorance, subtlety, or false charity does not forever conceal error. Evil will in time disclose and punish itself. The recuperative action of the system, when mentally sustained by truth, goes on naturally. When sin or sickness, the reverse of harmony, seems true to material sense, impart without frightening or discouraging the patient the truth and spiritual understanding which destroy disease. Expose and denounce the claims of evil and disease in all their forms, but realize no reality in them. A sinner is not reformed merely by assuring him that he cannot be a sinner because there is no sin. To put down the claim of sin, you must detect it, remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin, and so prove its unreality. The sick are not healed merely by declaring there is no sickness, but by knowing that there is none. A sinner is afraid to cast the first stone. He may say, as a subterfuge, that evil is unreal, but to know it, he must demonstrate his statement. To assume that there are no claims of evil and yet to indulge them is a moral offense. Blindness and self-righteousness cling fast to iniquity. When the publican's wail went out to the great heart of love, it won his humble desire. Evil which obtains in the bodily senses, but which the heart condemns, has no foundation. But if evil is uncondemned, it is undenied and nurtured. Under such circumstances, to say that there is no evil is an evil in itself. When needed, tell the truth concerning the lie. Evasion of truth cripples integrity and casts thee down from the pinnacle. Christian Science rises above the evidence of the corporeal senses. But if you have not risen above sin yourself, do not congratulate yourself upon your blindness to evil or upon the good you know and do not. A dishonest position is far from Christianly scientific. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Try to leave on every student's mind the strong impress of divine science, a high sense of the moral and spiritual qualifications requisite for healing, well knowing it to be impossible for error, evil, and hate to accomplish the grand results of truth and love. The reception or pursuit of instructions opposite to absolute Christian Science must always hinder scientific demonstration. If the student adheres strictly to the teachings of Christian Science and ventures not to break its rules, he cannot fail of success in healing. It is Christian Science to do right, and nothing short of right doing has any claim to the name. To talk the right and live the wrong is foolish deceit, doing oneself the most harm. Fettered by sin yourself, it is difficult to free another from the fetters of disease. With your own wrists manacled, it is hard to break another's chains. A little leaven causes the whole mass to ferment. A grain of Christian Science does wonders for mortals, so omnipotent is truth. But more of Christian Science must be gained in order to continue in well-doing. The wrong done another reacts most heavily against oneself. Right adjusts the balance sooner or later. Think it easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you to benefit yourself by injuring others. Man's moral mercury, rising or falling, registers his healing ability and fitness to teach. You should practice well what you know, and you will then advance in proportion to your honesty and fidelity, qualities which ensure success in this science. But it requires a higher understanding to teach this subject properly and correctly than it does to heal the most difficult case. The baneful effect of evil associates is less seen than felt. The inoculation of evil human thoughts ought to be understood and guarded against. The first impression made on a mind which is attracted or repelled according to personal merit or demerit is a good detective of individual character. Certain minds meet only to separate through simultaneous repulsion. They are enemies without the preliminary offense. The impure are at peace with the impure. Only virtue is a rebuke to vice. A proper teacher of Christian Science improves the health and the morals of his student if the student practices what he is taught. And unless this result follows, the teacher is a scientist only in name. There is a large class of thinkers whose bigotry and conceit twist every fact to suit themselves. Their creed teaches belief in a mysterious supernatural God and in a natural, all-powerful devil. Another class, still more unfortunate, are so depraved that they appear to be innocent. They utter a falsehood while looking you blandly in the face, and they never fail to stab their benefactor in the back. A third class of thinkers build with solid masonry. They are sincere, generous, noble, and are therefore open to the approach and recognition of truth. To teach Christian Science to such as these is no task. They do not incline longingly to error, whine over the demands of truth, nor play the traitor for place and power. Some people yield slowly to the touch of truth. Few yield without a struggle, and many are reluctant to acknowledge that they have yielded. But unless this admission is made, evil will boast itself above good. The Christian Scientist has enlisted to lessen evil, disease, and death, and he will overcome them by understanding their nothingness and the allness of God or good. Sickness to him is no less a temptation than is sin, and he heals them both by understanding God's power over them. The Christian Scientist knows that they are errors of belief, which truth can and will destroy. Who that has felt the perilous beliefs in life, substance, and intelligence separated from God can say that there is no error of belief? Knowing the claim of animal magnetism, that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life, who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? Christian Scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. Students of Christian Science, who start with its letter and think to succeed without the Spirit, will either make shipwreck of their faith or be turned sadly awry. They must not only seek, but strive to enter the narrow path of life, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Man walks in the direction towards which he looks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not from beneath, and they bear as of old the fruits of the Spirit. Every Christian Scientist, every conscientious teacher of the science of mind healing knows that human will is not Christian Science, and he must recognize this in order to defend himself from the influence of human will. He feels morally obligated to open the eyes of his students that they may perceive the nature and methods of error of every sort, especially any subtle degree of evil, deceived, and deceiving. All mental malpractice arises from ignorance or malice aforethought. It is the injurious action of one mortal mind controlling another from wrong motives, and it is practiced either with a mistaken or a wicked purpose. Show your student that mental malpractice tends to blast moral sense, health, and the human life. Instruct him how to bar the door of his thought against this seeming power, a task not difficult when one understands that evil has, in reality, no power. Incorrect reasoning leads to practical error. The wrong thought should be arrested before it has a chance to manifest itself.